Welcome back in, hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We've got The Choice Is Yours coming up later this hour at 7:45. So looking forward to that. We'll take your participation on the text line as well. Joe, right now talking SEC Media Days and name, image, and likeness. Our SEC Media Days coverage brought to you by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. And there were some interesting comments made yesterday by Lane Kiffin from Ole Miss, as there always is. And somebody brought up the Bryce Young comments to him, which Bryce Young set to be the starting quarterback for the Alabama Crimson Tide this year after Mac Jones has moved on to the NFL. Bryce Young is a five-star quarterback. Got some playing time last year in relief of Mac Jones when Alabama and that offense was up by 40 or 50 or whatever they were up by every single game of the year last year. And Nick Saban was apparently at the Texas High School Coaches Association's convention on Tuesday and was making some comments to that convention and talked about Bryce Young and the name, image, and likeness laws coming into effect and how Bryce Young already capitalizing on those laws without having started a game yet for the Alabama Crimson Tide. And Saban saying, quote, he's due to make ungodly numbers. And the other quote is, it's like the guy hasn't even played yet, but that's because of our brand. Almost seven figures is reportedly the total compensation thus far for Bryce Young. So you're talking about nearly $1 million that Bryce Young has made to this point, and he's not even started a game yet for the Alabama Crimson Tide. So my question to you, Joe Rexroad, is that a good thing in terms of the amount of criticism that these quarterbacks could end up facing? Because I think if you've watched Tennessee football, there's already a pretty high amount of criticism anyway. Like Jared Garantano, and look, he didn't play well last year, but he got eviscerated online last year by Tennessee fans, by fans on social media. I mean, one day, and I regretted doing this immediately, one day I just did a simple Twitter search of his Twitter handle during a game just to see what was happening. I was curious because I've always heard about people actually tweeting it at these quarterbacks and saying things, and I was like, surely like grown adults, there's not that many of them that are that dumb. There are. It was just attack after attack after attack to Jared Garantano. So, look, it's already bad. Could the amount of money that some of these quarterbacks in college football are going to make, could that invite way more criticism towards these college quarterbacks? Is that fair? Where do you come down on all this when name, image, and likeness gets involved, especially at that position?
Well, I mean, look, it's going to be – it's another thing that gets brought up now, right? So it's like, you know, it used to be you suck and whatever else ridiculous stuff people would say, and you should be benched, and we want whoever the backup quarterback is. And now it's like, I can't believe that you have like 300,000 in endorsements, you know. But look, you brought up Garantano. It can't get worse than that.
You wouldn't think so.
I mean, like, you're talking about death threats to his sister. You're talking about, and I've seen some of it, but I've heard also of some stuff I haven't seen that's utterly disgusting. And it's just like, I'm with you. It's like, how could you possibly, you know, you hide behind anonymity and I guess you can do anything online. So, I mean, it can't get worse than that. And frankly, if I was Garantano and I could go home to a couple hundred K because of social media presence, I'd feel better about things.
Sure.
You know? But I do think that, yeah, this is going to be a discussion point. And if Bryce Young is, by the way, Nick Saban. So Nick Saban is happy to talk about this stuff at a Texas in a recruiting hotbed to yes. Tell all the, you know, our brand so strong and look at this. Now it'll be interesting to see how he addresses it, you know, at SEC Media Days, which is also a recruiting opportunity, but it's also kind of like him addressing his team,
right?
You know, it'll be interesting if he has a little bit different tone or doesn't want to get into that. But the bottom line,
by the way, Nick Saban speaking today at SEC Media Days,
very exciting, Coach Saban.
Yes, Coach Saban.
Coach Saban.
Excuse me.
Which no one should ever call him. But anyway, Bryce Young, if he's this close to a million right now. And I understand it's just the beginning of this, so I think there's also a little bit of like, you know, get a deal with somebody, right? Like some of these companies are like, yeah, the Alabama quarterback, get a deal with him. Maybe things even out a little bit. But what about the Tua who just won a natty and is coming back, you know? What's the number for him
right
the next year? So, but I mean,
this is already, though, what I was talking about when name, image, and likeness came into effect. Like, this is going to affect recruiting. I mean, it just is. If you can make $1 million at Alabama to be the quarterback, it's going to affect recruiting.
But did Alabama already get the best quarterback in the country every year?
Sure.
And but, then the next one and the next one?
Well, not every year, no. Like, A.J. McCarron, he wasn't the best quarterback. No. I mean, they've had a good run lately. Mac Jones, he's not the best quarterback.
Yeah.
He had transfer from Kentucky.
But for the most part, they get an Elite 11 guy who they get one of the top five every year, right? Pretty much.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. So so they're gonna get those guys, and then someone's gonna lose a battle and is gonna transfer out of Alabama. I mean, you're telling me that like other programs star quarterback won't be able to make a ton of money?
They can make a ton of money. They're not making the quarterback at Tennessee is not making $1 million. I mean, I would be shocked. I mean, a lot of this is the Alabama brand, right?
Well, let's go to Josh Dobbs.
Okay.
So they didn't win championships. They weren't great. He wasn't, you know, an NFL QB. I bet you that guy cleans up
probably
in his last couple of years.
But what does that mean? Is it $1 million?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I understand like the brand of Alabama is, you know, it's Alabama. But Tennessee, if you want to talk about people who want to compensate their athletes, just look at the facilities,
sure.
Look at the recruiting. There is plenty of money for a program like that, or a program that right now isn't at the top of Texas, you know, for example. Not a very good program right now. I bet you the Texas quarterback does the same thing, right? I mean, it's just like, I mean, the bottom line is you're still going to go where you have opportunity to play, and one quarterback can play at Alabama. At a time. And the quarterback who doesn't play at Alabama.
For one half. And then you can switch to the other one.
That's true.
Because you're up by 30. And then, yeah, they can both play.
That's true. Maybe Saban will start doing that so they can both earn more.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, Mac Jones, he was third string for 3 years. And now he went 15th overall in the draft.
Yeah.
Maybe they can get all of them.
You still have scholarship limits.
At some point you'll be on the field. Let's go to the text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ron texting in. I'm sure Nick Saban is going to have problems when he's trying to prepare a team and all his players are starting to make money and too busy making money. I don't know. I think Nick Saban's probably going to find a way to figure this out.
Yeah, I don't think Nick Saban's going to do anything any different. And again, if you're at Alabama, you are competing with a five-star to your left and a five-star to your right. And if you take your eye off the ball and, you know, gonna get distracted by stuff like this, you're not gonna go on the field. So
right.
Now you just hurt your earning power.
Right.
So it was interesting hearing Alante Taylor yesterday asked about name, image, likeness. I think Chase asked him about this among other people, and he basically was like, nah, I haven't done anything yet. I'm trying to focus on the football.
Right.
Which good for him. I'd say, hey, like,
probably not what I would do.
Right. I mean, I wouldn't do the same thing. Good for you. It's good. But, you know, maybe saying that publicly, maybe he gets even more opportunities now, eventually.
Maybe so, especially when you're probably not an NFL cornerback. Probably would start to make some money. But, hey, good for him.
Yeah.
That's what he wants to do. That's what he wants to do.
And right now, like, you're one of the higher profile guys on this team, and the defense hasn't started to play yet.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Which, as we know. That could go the wrong way for that defense this year. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
It's not looking so great on that side of the ball. Lane Kiffin brought this up yesterday, too. He was asked about Bryce Young making nearly $1 million. Lane Kiffin's quote was, quote, he's made $1 million and hasn't started a game yet. Wow. I don't even know what to respond to that, but that's great for him. He don't need to play next year against us then. So Lane Kiffin, entertaining as always yesterday.
Go Lane.
Apparently Lane Kiffin's lost like 30 pounds. And his, he was asked how he did it. Not eating was how he did it. Given looks good.
Joey Freshwater's
back.
Joey Freshwater switching from the IPAs to the Mick Ultras.
What's his name now? I mean, you can't really be Joey Freshwater in, you know, Oxford, Mississippi, can you?
Maybe. I don't know. You think he's got a new, different alias?
Maybe. I don't know. Joey Freshwater's pretty legendary. I'd probably keep that one.
Jimmy Goldenfield? I don't know.
Jimmy Goldenfield. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I've got a texter that says, do y'all think any of these coaches might ask players making six or seven figures to go off of scholarship and pay for school so they could offer opportunities to other teammates? I don't think so.
No. All right. See ya. Thanks, coach.
Yeah, he'd probably go somewhere else.
Yeah. I mean, you're still talking. You know, that is a big benefit. It just, no. I mean, you're trying to lure anyone who's making that kind of money. Again, it is, like to Jordan Rogers' point yesterday, it's not going to be a lot of people. Anybody making that kind of money is a coveted player probably who could go a lot of places and be on full scholarship happily.
Let's go back to the text line. I got a texter that says, some of these kids have never seen $1,000. Imagine if they get five to six figures. Some will not know how to act, and it will affect their progression on the field.
Okay.
It might. I'm sure in some cases it probably will. I know that if you handed me that much money at 19 years old, I probably would have done some stupid stuff with it. I don't know what I would have done with it, but I was not great at managing money at 19.
But you would not have been weren't, because I thought the same thing, a public figure.
Right.
I mean, that's a big difference here. And that is, I mean, that's a big part of, I mean, you are under scrutiny if you're in this world. You're in a fishbowl. Which luckily for me, in college, I was not, you know, but that, and I mean, there's so much talk about all that stuff and about let's help kids manage their money and get a manager and do the smart thing with it. So you gotta, it's not just randomly, hey, here's a big bucket of cash for someone. I mean, you've also earned this money with what you've done to be one of the best people in the world at playing football. Or whatever sport you play.
Bob on Twitter, for what Vols football means to Knoxville, the UT quarterback very much able to make $1 million.
Well, I would, if it's again like Josh Dobbs is my example, I would, based on what we just heard about Bryce Young, I would bet that Josh Dobbs could have been in seven figures then. Just because of the fan base.
Yep.
The boosters, a lot of boosters with a lot of deep pockets.
But is Joe Milton gonna make $1 million? Probably not.
Yeah, I would guess not, because Josh Dobbs also played for at least teams that at least were, you know, they were ranked.
Right.
And they were, I mean, you know, that 16 team should have been in Atlanta. That was that good of a team. So you got to be on at least a good team and be a good player, which Josh Dobbs was.
Got a suggestion for Lane Kiffin's name in Ole Miss. Jose Aquafresco.
Okay.
There you go.
Nice.
Maybe we'll make
Spanish
that work.
Spanish spin on it. There you go.
Maybe we're going to have Vingan on later in the show. Old Miss fan. Maybe we'll ask him what Lane Kiffin's name should be.
Old Miss.
No reference to Old Miss yesterday. Just Old Miss. Yeah. So Vingan missed out on that one.
That's how Vingan. That's okay. He has his own little fan spin on it.
When we come back, we've got to get into, and Joe has referenced this already, the comments made yesterday by Deion Sanders. If you've missed this, you are not going to want to miss the next segment. It was quite the doozy yesterday from Deion Sanders. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. ESPN 94.9 is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Listen in tonight as Nashville SC takes on Columbus. Pregame starts at 6:15 and the match begins at 6:30. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Periscope, on Twitch, and on YouTube as well. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And Joe, it was a spicy day yesterday at the Southwestern Athletic Conference Media Days, which takes place in Birmingham, Alabama. And head coach of Jackson State, as we know, is Deion Sanders, one of the Hall of Famers in the NFL, one of the greatest players of all time. He is now taking the head coaching job at Jackson State, and participating in media days yesterday was referred to by a reporter as Deion. And this is a conversation that comes up, especially with media people a lot, calling a coach coach. Do you call him a coach? Do you call him by their name? All these things happen. But Deion Sanders, referred to as Deion by a reporter yesterday twice. And the corresponding quote for Deion Sanders after that was, quote, "You don't call Nick Saban Nick. Don't call me Deion. If you call Nick that, you'll get cussed out on the spot. So don't do that to me. Treat me like Nick." And Sanders later apparently walked out of Media Day. Now, he did tweet after that he never walked out of Media Day. But that was the report yesterday from the SWAC Media Days taking place in Birmingham, Alabama. What do you think of this interaction between Deion Sanders and a reporter at the Media Days down there in Birmingham? And what do you think of the idea of, don't refer to me as Deion, better call me Coach or Coach Prime, baby?
Okay, well, first of all, he's totally wrong about Nick Saban. Again, I was a student journalist at Michigan State and called him Nick. Everybody called him Nick. Everybody of Alabama calls him Nick. No, but everybody. I'm sure some people say, Coach Saban, please touch me and turn this water into wine. And let me ask you, can you talk about Derrick Henry? I mean, you know, there's some of that, but plenty of people call him Nick. He doesn't cuss him out. I mean, he cusses people out for a lot of things, maybe less than that.
Yes, maybe so.
But so Deion's just wrong, and I mean, I just have a problem with a coach demanding to be called coach. You're not my coach.
Yeah. I don't play for your team. Thank you, though.
I call my coaches coach. I call my kids coaches coach because the kids need to call them coach, respect them, and they're my kids coach, so I call them coach. But other than that, I don't think any adult talking to another adult should be compelled to call them by their the title of their job. Like, so I reject that.
I want you to refer to me from now on as radio host.
Yes.
Yes, radio partner.
Radio host Stanley, can you talk about the Vols? But I will say this. So there's two things here that need to be brought up. One, if you see the interaction between Deion and this reporter, and I tried to find this guy's name, I couldn't find it. So Deion says what he says, which was dumb.
Nick Suss. Okay. Apparently.
Thank you. Who's he work for?
It does not say. It just says Nick Suss.
So he immediately disagreed with Deion and said, no, I call Nick. But then, you know, Deion says his thing, which again is dumb. And then he's like, okay, Deion. Well, anyway, blah, blah, blah. And then Sanders got up from the interview. I don't blame him for being mad in that moment by that response. So that's one thing to note. The other thing to note from yesterday is there's a much bigger story with Deion Sanders and kind of not getting it. Rashad Milligan works for the Jackson Cleary and Ledger, okay? He wrote a story about a domestic violence charge against the highest-ranked high school recruit in program history. I'm reading from the Cleary and Ledger. Rashad Milligan, this reporter, was blocked by two Jackson State officials from covering him at the event. It was told that Deion doesn't want him interviewing Jackson State players and coaches, okay? That's outrageous.
Yeah.
Here's what Clarion Ledger executive editor Marlon Walker said. Quote, "A Clarion Ledger reporter was punished for simply doing his job. The decision to interfere with a working journalist not only is disappointing, but also intolerable. I couldn't agree more," end quote. End quote. And then I couldn't agree more. I mean, look. In this environment, you're gonna coach a team with all these players. You're gonna have legal issues at times, and reporters are going to do their jobs. And when there's a court filing, they're going to write about it. I mean, again, this will be like humble brag, okay? Like at Michigan State, over a long, long time covering that beat, I broke a lot of stories about arrests. And if you don't, then you are in trouble with your job. So the fact that he went out and said, you know, you can't cover this because you did a basic part of your job is absolutely awful, okay? So I have a much bigger problem with that than the coach thing, but I know the coach thing is going to get way more attention. But I think it all adds up to calm down and kind of understand the job. You have a public job. You're a coach. You're in the public eye. And Deion Sanders has been in the public eye in a different form, but this is – you can't act like this. I mean, you can't – I mean, you can walk out of an interview and be mad and demand people call you coach, and that's silly, but you cannot try to stop people from doing their job and not let them interview your players or you because they did their job. My gosh, the more I talk about it, the more pissed I get about it.
And also, Dabo Swinney addressing the media yesterday as well at Clemson. And a lot of things discussed yesterday by Dabo Swinney, including the playoff expanding from 4 teams to 12 teams. Dabo Swinney does not appear to be a big fan of that, of the college football playoff expanding on that front. And I was waiting to see what his thoughts were on name, image, and likeness. We've talked about it here on the show. I think at one point a few years ago, Dabo Swinney said if players start getting paid, he'll quit. That was not the tone yesterday that Dabo Swinney took when it comes to name, image, and likeness, which, Joe, I'm shocked by. I'm surprised that Dabo Swinney didn't double down on that, being very sarcastic.
Right, right. So, again, and then he's like, well, everybody wants to hear what they hear. I can read you the exact quote you said, Dabo.
Yeah.
We heard your words. And now, of course, he's like, I've never, ever said I'm against name, image, likeness. You're right. You didn't specifically say you're against name, but you said if they get paid, they are now getting paid.
Right.
But no Semantics. Surprise. It's no surprise. But also interesting that, so apparently he doesn't want any playoff. He just
wants it to go back to, the BCS.
Or not even that. Maybe, go back to, Clemson's. Clemson's in the Orange Bowl, and they're playing the Big 8 champion, Nebraska Cornhuskers. And whoever wins, as long as Miami loses, they could be number one in the national champ.
How the national championship was ever determined that way is just beyond me. It's before my time.
Most of history, man.
I know. It's before my time. I cannot fathom determining a national champion that way.
Well, most of history of college football, the bowls were just a fun little exhibition, and the national championship was voted on before you even got to the bowls.
Right.
You know, so.
Which is incredible.
Yeah. But Dabo, I guess if Dabo was as beloved as he thinks he is, and maybe he gets a few extra votes in the AP poll and he wins another natty, I don't know. Always interesting stuff from Dabo. He's the most unlikable, likable coach in the country. Remember, he's a likable coach.
He is.
But he's the most unlikable of the likables.
Wow, that's a lot.
Nick Saban might be the most likable of the unlikables.
Really?
Nick Saban's become kind of warm and fuzzy now.
He's like everybody's grandpa now.
I'm
looking forward to Nick Saban today as well. We'll have that for you. Nick Saban speaking. I believe he's the first speaker today. I believe he's up first at 9:05 Central Time. So looking forward to that coming up with Nick Saban later today. And then after Nick Saban, Clark Lee, Vanderbilt coach, will be speaking today at SEC Media Days. And Clark Lee, as we talked about yesterday on the show, done a pretty good job in recruiting so far at Vanderbilt. But who's his quarterback going to be? Who's the leader in the clubhouse right now to play quarterback for Vanderbilt? What do we want to hear today out of Clark Lee at SEC Media Days? We'll get into all that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Blue Raider Blitz is rolling across the mid-state to a town near you. Led by Middle Tennessee Blue Raiders football head coach Rick Stockstill, this community-wide event will be guaranteed fun for the whole family. Each of the stops will include food, ticket giveaways, and a chance to mix and mingle with MTSU coaching staffs and Lightning as well. Today's stops include the Goat in Mount Juliet from noon to 1:30 and the Town Square in Shelbyville from 6 to 8 p.m. For more information on where you can attend, head to goblueraiders.com/tour. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We've got The Choice Is Yours coming up here in about 15 minutes at 7:45. So looking forward to that. We'll take your participation on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So Joe, Clark Lee speaking today at SEC Media Days after Nick Saban. Nick Saban up first. Clark Lee from Vanderbilt will be second in his first appearance at SEC Media Days as head coach with Vanderbilt. We talked about this yesterday with Josh Heupel, but with Clark Lee, things going pretty well on the recruiting front for Vanderbilt at the moment. What do you think is the biggest challenge for Clark Lee as he settles in now in year one? What do you want to hear from Clark Lee today at SEC Media Days?
I want to hear some guaranteed victories. I want to hear from all these coaches. I want to kick Josh Heupel's butt on the recruiting trail and on the field.
One thing we do know, they're going to be vaccinated. So that's probably a question that we already know the answer
that's
to.
That's true. There's no need for a vaccination question for Cluckley. I bet you someone asked. Somebody will
ask. Yeah, somebody will ask.
But, yeah, for those who haven't heard, Vanderbilt students must be vaccinated this fall, which would, of course, include the football team. One thing that Cluckley has a storyline that he has now put away, which was getting a little bit stupid nationally, I think, was the numbers thing. That's over. So Vanderbilt tweeted out, like, players got their numbers yesterday. They got, like, or I don't know if it was yesterday, but recently, they tweeted out yesterday, you know, they got their, like, jerseys with their numbers, so now they can be identified during camp. So, I mean, it was to the, like, so, there was something, it might have been a dead spin, like, you know, like, you're
well, there's your first problem. Okay.
You're causing them to, like, you know, not earn money or whatever, which, I mean, I suppose would be true, like, if you went through the whole season with no numbers, you know, then, like, you couldn't get into the jersey sale right. thing or whatever, but it was a little bit, okay. Now, I will say, I do agree with anyone who says, how the heck do you identify guys
that would be my thing.
With helmets on? Yeah. They
were always going to have numbers in the game, right? I mean, you can't play without numbers in the game. So we know that.
Yes, exactly. No, and
the practice thing is the one that, to me, you're like, just from a coaching staff standpoint, how do you determine who's who out there? That would be the thing that would drive me nuts.
And I don't think anyone thought they weren't going to have it in the game. But to me, that's the only way it, quote unquote, like cuts into your earning
money
potential.
Yeah, yeah, nobody's watching practice.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, that's over. So they have numbers. So that's good. As far as what you want to hear from Cluckley, I don't know. I mean, when we've had Cluck on, he's been good. I mean, I think he talks big picture. You know, he talks about the process of, collective. I mean, he has some interesting phrases, you know, some very intellectual phrases at times, trying to get a team, you know, to play together and things like that. I wouldn't expect, kind of like with Heupel yesterday, that he's going to get too specific on players and things like that. And, of course, they have their own QB situation. I do think is probably a little bit more interesting than some might think.
So let's get into that a little bit. The quarterback situation, we had Cluckley on a few weeks ago, and we brought up the quarterbacks with him. And Ken Seals, obviously heading into his sophomore season, had some moments last year where he looked very good. Had some moments last year where he looked like a true freshman. What do you think the quarterback situation is right now for Vanderbilt? Is Ken Seals the unquestioned starter? How do you think that plays out for Vanderbilt in Clarkley's first year at the quarterback position?
I think that, I mean, Ken Seals hasn't done anything to lose the job, and he was impressive as a freshman. You know, I also think Mike Wright is really intriguing, and you know, it's funny, the thing they tweeted out yesterday, who gets tweeted out? It's Mike Wright. I mean, Mike Wright, you know, who's the guy who's, like, leading the charge when the football players are at, Hawkins Field cheering on the baseball team? Mike Wright. Like, Mike Wright is a leader, and it's kind of obvious that he is already one of those players who a lot of other players follow and look to.
Yeah.
And that means something. But more than that, is can you help a football team with your ability to play football? He's really talented. He's a really intriguing player. So, and Cluckley has been asked about him and has talked about, you know, the need to get him involved. It's funny because the Athletic College Football account just tweeted out my Vanderbilt State of the Program story. So I could probably find a quote from a quote in here about that situation, but it's more interesting than you would think. Now, last year, of course, they used Mike Wright in the goal line situations, and at times with some success. Maybe that's more what it is. Maybe it's a legitimate look. If you're a coach, just like Heupel said yesterday, there's no better friend to a coach than a real competition.
Sure.
I mean, I don't like as promising as Ken Seals was, solid. Accurate, you know, big, strong, lot to like. I don't know that he locked himself up as the lifetime starter, right? I mean, you got to keep progressing. And I feel like Mike Wright is up for, you know, competition. So, I mean, I think that's one of the most interesting things about this team right now, Clark Lee's first team.
Well, and we've talked about how hard Tennessee was hit with the transfer portal, and they're hit pretty hard. And I think probably harder than any team in the nation when it boils down to it. Vanderbilt hit by the transfer portal as well. I mean, Keon Henry Brooks entering the transfer portal. They've got some question marks on both sides of the ball. You know, Clark Lee, obviously, at Notre Dame with the, you know, holding the title of defensive coordinator. You would expect that to be his strength as he heads into the first year here, and there's a lot of work to do on that side of the ball because, you know, last year at times, Vanderbilt could move the ball offensively. They couldn't stop anybody. I mean, they could not stop anybody defensively last year, and there's a lot of work left to do on that front. But I will say the one thing that they've got going for them right now that you've got to feel great about if you're a Vanderbilt fan, Clark Lee is recruiting, and I realize it's early and that these rankings can and will change as we move forward here. But the early signs of Clark Lee recruiting at Vanderbilt, I think, are pretty good. And you've got to be excited about that if you're a Vanderbilt fan.
Yeah, and he's recruiting, you know, defensive edge and interior players, which is – we know what the SEC is, and it's where Vanderbilt has just struggled to get guys who can hold up against some of these SEC offensive lines. I mean, you've got to have NFL-level players, at least some – up front defensively to have a chance. I mean, really, it's other than that, you know, it's smoke and mirrors, and then eventually it's just not going to work for you. So, I mean, he has really hit that area hard, an obvious area of need. And I mean, look, obviously you're talking about D coordinator for Notre Dame, a lot of success, and I think this year is going to be also a test of him a little bit as a coach. I mean, if they can make a significant jump defensively, that's got to be coaching, because I don't think that they're equipped at all from a roster standpoint to be very competitive in the SEC in that way. By the way, Dave Rye in my story did say this about Wright, quote, "There's absolutely a place in this offense for Mike to use his talents." So pretty vague. You know, I mean, he'll be out there in some way. I just
taking his talents to Nashville.
There you go.
Yeah.
But I do wonder if you know, if it's going to be an actual competition.
I do too. I was impressed with Ken Seals last year. You know, especially, you know, given the circumstances, there were some times where there was a lot of adversity to try to overcome, and he got back up. He kept fighting. I was impressed by what I saw. I think there's a chance if he continues to develop and they can continue to surround him with weapons, I think there's a chance he could be a really good quarterback by the time his playing career is done. I think the arm talent is there. I think he made some really good throws last year. I like a lot of what I saw out of Ken Seals, but maybe it is kind of a two-headed approach that Clark Lee wants to take. Ken Seals, Mike Wright, we've seen quarterbacks in college football all the time. There's a lot of teams that use two quarterbacks. Maybe that's the route that Vanderbilt goes this year.
Yeah, it's possible. And that at some point, you know, does one of them – I mean, obviously Ken Seals is the starter. I mean, he's the incumbent starter, but, you know, does one of them decide to move on?
Right.
Because, I mean, like Mike Wright, like Ken Seals was very ready last year, and he came out of a big Texas football program. And, you know, I think sometimes kids from Texas, Florida, Ohio are a little bit more prepared than some freshmen to contribute right away. But Mike Wright, just a year in, there's a lot of promise there, and maybe a higher ceiling.
Mike Wright probably could have been the starter at Tennessee last year.
That's a good point. Could he be now?
I don't know. Heupel's probably hoping not. Probably hoping you have a better option there at some point, but probably last year could have been.
Yeah, last year. Yeah.
For sure. I got some breaking news to pass along. This coming from U.S. Soccer, the men's national team, and the Gold Cup going on right now. Walker Zimmerman, of course, with Nashville SC, has been ruled out of the Gold Cup with a hamstring strain. So a hamstring strain for Walker Zimmerman, ruling him out.
Got banged up. Yeah, got banged up the other night. So, but that doesn't sound too bad. Hamstring strain, although that can
probably just needs to get off of it for a while.
That can stay away. That can plague you for a while.
It can.
But strain's better than a lot of things.
As we know, with a hamstring, only thing that heals it is time. So just stay away from it.
Hamstring strain. Say that fast 10 times.
Exactly. When we come back, it is time for The Choice Is Yours. Joe Rexroad in the questions chair this week. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for The Choice Is Yours here on Robbie and Rexroad. We throw out different scenarios both in sports and in life, and then we have a lot of fun responding to those scenarios. You guys have a lot of fun with this as well every week on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and we'll do that again today, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad back in the questions chair this week. Joe, without further ado, I turn the microphone over to you.
So this is Michelle's debut.
This is Michelle's debut, and the choice is
answering
yours.
Answering these grueling questions.
Yes.
All right, so I'll let you pick first here, Michelle. Sports or non-sports?
Let's do non-sports first.
Oh, let's mix it up a little bit.
All right. As you'll find out, although I've gone through a few of these, so I may run out of them. But as you may find out, I like these like lifetime food questions.
Yes.
Okay. Like, if the rest of your life, you can pick this or this. So here is a finger food question.
All right.
Okay? Now, you can have these in, like, different forms, different toppings or whatever. But you can pick one of these three things to have for the rest of your life, and you can never have the other two again.
Okay.
Burgers, tacos, or chicken wings. Which of those three are you picking for the rest of your life while forfeiting the other two?
You want to know how much of a slob I am? I've had all three of those so far this week.
Hold on. Let me think.
Well, Wednesday.
If you count from Saturday on, me too.
Yeah. I'm counting from Sunday through Tuesday. I've had all three of those things.
This is a hard one.
Oh, man.
I think tacos. No burgers or no wings for me. Whoa. Can I do a turkey burger or no burgers at all?
No burgers at all.
Yeah, no That's burgers at all. Yeah, but if you picked burgers, you could do a turkey burger.
Yeah.
You could do a turkey taco.
Yeah.
Could I do a taco salad?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know.
It's
a
taco.
I mean, I didn't rule out taco salad. I mean, yeah. Sure.
Sure. Okay.
Well, a lot of questions for me, Michelle.
Okay, I picked tacos for the rest of my life. No burgers, no wings.
Oh, my goodness. This is so difficult. Look. One of my favorite things in life to do is to sit out in the backyard, fire up the grill, nice little charcoal grill out there, and grill some burgers. So I think I'm going burgers. This is really difficult. I'm a big fan of tacos. Big fan of chicken wings, too. Had some last night. But I think I'm going burgers in this thing. I'll sacrifice the other two for the burgers. But I don't like this question. This is painful to try to answer.
No, it's painful. It was painful to ask and to try to answer. I agree because I love all three of them a lot. But I'm actually going with Michelle. I'm going with tacos. Whenever I'm like home hungry and it's like you know the kids are hungry or whatever. You know what? I defrost some hamburger and I make taco meat and or like if we have people in town a lot of times, we just do a taco bar.
Yeah.
Just make a huge ton of taco meat.
Now,
sour cream, cheese, hot sauce, guac, you know, lettuce.
Are you a hard shell taco guy? Soft taco guy?
Both.
I'm both too.
Love them
soft.
Both.
No hard shell?
Soft with then chips on the sides, so you kind of get the hard shell.
Okay.
That's good too.
I can accept that.
I like both. Chorizo and fish taco, you know, so it's tough because I think actually burgers would come in third for me, and yet, I mean, I've had 18 million in my life. How could I not? Maybe I've had enough. I mean, chicken wings, though? Boy. Anyway, painful. All right, sports. Who ends up winning more games as the head coach at his current job?
Okay.
Clark Lee or Josh Heupel?
Oh, man. I'm going to say Clark Lee. And I'm going to say Clark Lee because I believe Clark Lee is going to be there longer. I think Clark Lee is going to be at Vanderbilt for a long time. So because of that, I will say Clark Lee ends up winning more games than Josh Heupel does. I think this year... Josh Heupel will win more games. I don't know that I've got a ton of confidence that Josh Heupel is going to be the coach 4 years from now based on Tennessee and how hard it is to find a coach the last 4 years at this point. So because of that, I will say that Clark Lea ends up with more wins than Josh Heupel.
I'm piggybacking off Robbie. I think the same. At first, I thought you said this year, which I was going to go with Heupel. But I think Clark Lea has started off strong, you know, with his recruiting. And I'm excited to see this Vanderbilt program, you know, maybe be a little bit of a football school.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, I think this question was as tough as the last one. This one's probably too easy because it's the same thing, the same reasoning. Like, frankly.
You're not hyped for Heupel?
Well, it's just a totally different job, you know. And I just think that Heupel, at some point, although I think he's going to get more patience than some and more patience than you might expect from a Tennessee coach. I mean, Clark Lea, I think Clark Lea has a real chance to get it to this stable point where when he leaves Vanderbilt when he wants to leave Vanderbilt. I mean, Derek Mason struggled for the most part for quite a while. He had a couple bowl teams, but, you know. And
he was there for like 7 years.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's hard. Now, I think Vanderbilt also in raising the stakes and facilities and all these things, so maybe that changes a little bit. But I think for the most part, you have a chance to be there a long time, and I think he'll do a good job.
So that's a clean sweep for Clark Lea.
Yeah.
We are underselling Josh Heupel here.
Maybe. I think there's more pressure on Heupel, though.
Oh, there's a lot more pressure. Yeah, that's for sure.
It's such a different job. And eventually that will get to him, I think. All right. Non-sports. Who plays you in the autobiographical movie about your life?
Oh, man.
Don't be humble. Go ahead, Brad Pitt. Come on.
I'm not going to say Brad Pitt.
I already got mine.
All right. My question for you is this. Because of the lack of hair follicles on my head, does it have to be somebody who's bald?
Not at all. I mean, okay. Hollywood, man, they can put a bald cap on their head.
I'm going Chris Pratt, man. Give me some Chris Pratt in here. I think Chris Pratt, as Ryan Porth will attest to, I've been compared to Chris Pratt before. I've walked into an establishment on Broadway where they legitimately thought I was Chris Pratt multiple times. I don't know how because I don't look anything like Chris Pratt, but apparently that night I did. And I'm going Chris Pratt because of that, because apparently we are twins, even though we look nothing alike.
Good actor.
Yeah.
I never would have guessed that, but.
Give me Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
Okay, Chris Pratt. I'm going to choose Rachel McAdams or Drew Barrymore, but I think I'm going to go with Rachel McAdams.
Okay.
Good choice.
All right.
What do you guys think?
I mean, why Rachel McAdams?
She's great.
Well, she's always like smiley and fun, and I feel like the red hair, you know. Yeah.
That is an important match.
I like it. I like it. All right. Well,
Chris Pratt would have to shave his head. That's okay. He can do that.
Well, they got the they can do anything out there. So you guys have bigger stars than my. I was gonna say William Zabka. That's what I would have said a lot of my life. For those who don't know, he plays Johnny in Karate Kid. He's also in Cobra Kai, which is a great show if anybody doesn't watch it. Because growing up, a lot of people told me I looked like. I had no idea what his freaking name was. But Johnny from Karate Kid.
Yes.
But as it turns out, one of the texters on my personal text line, Dane from Nolensville, is a clone of William Zabka who has moved to Nashville.
Really?
I believe he lives in Brentwood.
Okay.
And my buddy it's freakishly weird. He went out with his wife as Johnny in Karate Kid, and it's insane. It's bizarre. So anyway, he can't play me. He's got to play him in the movie. So I want someone funny. So give me Jim Gaffigan. And if you don't know who Jim Gaffigan is, just Google Jim Gaffigan. I mean, I think I'm being, humble in terms of the camera. But he is funny.
He is funny.
He's
yes.
A very, very funny guy. So we'll
there
go
you go.
With that.
Jim Gaffigan and Joe Rex Road. I mean, twinsies.
Does he have good dad jokes?
Sadly, well.
Probably.
He actually has better. He has actual jokes.
Yes.
So it's an upgrade. All right. Last one, sports. This may be tougher than you think, so give it a thought.
All right.
Who ends up with more rings, Giannis or Devin Booker?
Oh. I'm going to say Giannis. I think Giannis gets one more. I don't think Devin Booker's going to win one. Not in Phoenix. I think this was their shot. and I think they squandered it. So I'm going to go Giannis. I think Giannis ends up winning one more. I don't know whether or not it'll be next year, but the thing about Giannis is it feels like he's been around forever, which he has.
26.
He's 26 years old. That means he's theoretically just now getting into the prime of his career. So he may get one or two more. I think he ends up with one more. I think Giannis is going to end up with two in Milwaukee. But I will say Giannis with two. Devin Booker finishes with zero.
Ouch.
Is Robbie trying to punch me through the glass?
No, I'm not. Man. I'm not. That's the way I feel about it. Now, I also think at some point Devin Booker will not be on the Phoenix Suns anymore either. He'll move around.
Oh, 100%. I think he'll move around. I think he'll move to a bigger franchise.
Yep.
But it's the point you had about they're so young. Like, I think Devin Booker's 24.
Yep.
And I'm going to go Devin Booker. I think the longevity of his career, I think he still has a long way to grow. Especially, he's just got to perform. Like, that game last night. Wasn't good. He's got to perform better in those bigger moments. I mean, he had a solid series up until that game. But I'm going to go Devin Booker at a different franchise with three rings.
Three rings for Booker. I like it.
See, I like, you know, some of their young players. I mean, I like Phoenix. I mean, I think that they have more runs in them. It is also that the problem is I was going to say Booker, and I'm going back to Giannis because it's hard to project. I mean, if it ends up 1-0, I won't be shocked, you know? And it's just right now, I think there's a good chance Booker does go somewhere else and maybe has a better shot. But just it's West versus East is where.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the tough Giannis, part. Although Brooklyn will be back next year. But Giannis, I think, has a little bit easier path just to get to the series.
So Devin Booker,
I wanted to go with your guy.
If he wants Michelle. To come play for the Miami Heat, we'll take him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They like Kentucky players over there.
They do.
That's right. So you're kind of a Heat fan then, too, with Bam and
Tyler Herro?
Herro?
What'd you call him?
I call him Herro.
It's Herro. Yeah, Herro Ball. I know that it's spelled Herro, but it's Herro. At least that's what he says it is.
I'm going to go Herro. Sorry. I'll call you Coach, though. Coach Herro.
Coach Herro. That is today's edition of The Choice Is Yours, the inaugural edition for Michelle Knezvik. Well done, Michelle.
Nice. Now coming up, you got the question.
Yeah.
Next week?
Next week you may have the questions.
Oh, guys, I'm ready. I was already thinking of some last night.
There we go. Oh, so next week, Michelle will make her debut with the questions on The Choice Is Yours as well. So looking forward to that coming up next Wednesday and every Wednesday at 7:45 here on Robbie and Rex Row. When we come back, the day has finally come. It is time for the expansion draft in the NHL. How big a deal is today for the future of the Nashville Predators franchise? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.